pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Hey, welcome back. Final hour has arrived. Final hour of the week, and what a week it has been. Let's check out Fred up next in Texas. Hey, Fred.
Paul, my brother, thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
I have to tell you something. I am very, very, very disappointed to hear fellow Christians call and speak so poorly about one another over the last few days. And I have a couple of verses I want to share with you, if that's all right. One from the Tanakh of the Old Testament, Proverbs 24:16-18. For the righteous falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in times of calamity. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and let not your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the heart see it and be displeased and turn away his anger from you. And then in the New Testament, Luke chapter 6:27-28, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who abuse you. And I think if we put those both together and put those into action, people might actually say, you know what? I should give that Bible a look. I should give that holy book a second thought today and put it into practice. Because when we talk about each other like that, it makes people say, see, they're just like the rest of the world. So that's all I've got to say on that part. And Paul, on part two, did you see the draft last night when Brian Thomas got drafted?
Right.
When he got drafted, Coach Brian Kelly was there, gave him a pat on the back. But it didn't look like Brian Thomas saw him. And so Coach Kelly didn't get a high five, didn't get a hug. And he kind of looked disappointed a little bit. And as you know, the NFL draft was not always the spectacle that it is now. So I'm asking you, Paul, to turn on that computer. Do you have it on that memory bank computer of yours?
I do, yes.
All right. This is where I want you to go. I want you to go back to when Paul Bear Bryant was putting more people in the league than anybody else. And remember, did he attend the draft with his players, first of all?
I don't think anybody did. The draft was completely different back then.
And if Paul Bear Bryant was here today, Paul, see, for those of you who are wondering how do you make a great call, you got to take advantage of having the Paul Feinbaum right here. Paul, here's my question. What advice would he give to players and to coaches and administrators today about this world of the NIL? What would he think of it all, and what would he say?
Well, one thing I know about Paul Bryant, he would not be sitting by idly letting others beat him at it. He would be mastering it. Whether he liked it or not, the most amazing thing about Bryant, he adapted, and that's why he went to something that he really did not want to at first, but he knew it. He knew he had to make a change, and he went to the Wishbone in the 70s, which really gave him the best decade of his career. Thanks for the call. Elliot is up next.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I loved hearing from Adam Rittenberg, and he pretty much agreed 100% with what I called in about yesterday. But really, that's not what I think is great about the NFL draft. I think the NFL draft last night, two names stuck out to me, Dallas Turner and J.J. McCarthy, both on the same team. I think this speaks volumes to really who's running college football right now. I think that combination is lethal. I hope that J.J. gets to run quarterback at some point and that Dallas Turner's on tackle on the opposite side of this game.
Well, that sounds exciting to me. What about you, Randy? I thought so. How about Swamp Dog up next in Georgia?
Hello, Mr. Paul. How you doing?
Hey there.
Yeah. I want to talk to you about the draft, too. And first of all, I want to talk to you about the Kenny Chesney thing today. That was great.
Thank you.
I love music as much as I love football. You know, that's great. And you do, too. I know you do. But I saw the draft, and I am shocked at what the Atlanta Falcons did. I mean, you spend $100 million to get a quarterback, and then you draft a quarterback in the first round. That is kind of unusual.
I don't think it's ever been done before. It makes no sense whatsoever. When you take a pick that high, that is your franchise quarterback. You don't draft people nowadays in the first round and have them sit around and learn like you may have in the 70s. You play immediately.
Well, I heard some excuses for it because they don't think that they think they're going to be too good with Cousins.
Well, then why did they sign him in the first place?
Pick. Yeah, I know. That's what I say.
I think what you have there, Dog, is you have a dysfunctional management, an owner who is detached, and what you eventually will have is a disaster. Thanks so much for the call. Really do appreciate it. Billy is up next in Alabama. Hello, Billy.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We hear you loud and clear.
All right. Let me get you off speaker here. I want to ask you about a comment you made, man, ain't no big deal. But Herschel Walker's greatest running back, how you compare him to Auburn's running back?
Good question. And I did that one day. Some of you heard this story. You may have seen it. I was at Auburn one day with the SEC show. And we had...
I'm talking about Bo Jackson.
Yeah,
you
I know exactly
what
you're talking about. And we had Bo Jackson on our set. And he said to me, did you say what I think you said, that Herschel Walker was a better running back than I did? And that's where I could have said, I was just got carried away, Bo. But I said, that's exactly what I said. I said, you're the second best. And he said, you know what? I might just stand up here and break you in half. And it's pretty funny, but I do believe that. I mean, there's not much difference, but I just, that's how I saw it back in the 80s.
Yeah, do you remember when Bo Jackson went to the NFL?
Sure do.
All right, do you remember the first year? Hey, I think he was playing for the Los Angeles Raiders. Now, I'm not an Auburn fan or a Georgia fan. I'm an Alabama fan. But do you remember Brian Bosworth?
Do I remember Brian Bosworth?
Oklahoma.
Yeah, I spent last weekend with him in Oklahoma. I do remember him well.
He was dedicated his senior year as being the Dick Butkus Award.
Right. He won it, I think he won the Butkus twice.
Yeah. And anyway, they met, I think, Bo Jackson was playing for the Raiders.
Yeah, it was a Monday night game.
Yeah. And he hit Brian Bosworth 1 yard line and drove him plumb out the end zone. And run plumb through the tunnel and come back out. I thought that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I actually asked Bosworth about that. It doesn't matter what he said because it sounded like an excuse to me, but he said he was out of position. when Bo flattened him, he said he kind of moved. He kind of moved a little bit, and it didn't matter. Bo, it was a humiliating moment for the boss. Hey, thanks for the call, appreciate it. This guy last night made a big deal, Randy, about me keeping him on hold for 3 hours. How long have you been on hold tonight, Joey?
Well, it wasn't too long because it's about 45 minutes, but I accidentally got used to hitting the off button, and it rained, and I hung my own self up.
Well, did I promise you I'd get you quickly?
Yeah, you did. You dug up, but let me ask you something. Yeah. This dude you had on there earlier, right, his name's Squirrel, he talking outside his neck because I never once told you over this phone that all these animals lived in my house. He talking about how it smelled. Well, he woke up the beast in my house. I ain't even married, and I about got a divorce. Because
Okay.
She heard that.
Hey, Joey,
saying her house
I need you to explain for a moment. What exactly are we talking about here with these animals?
Well, Squirrel got on there talking about me
right.
from Alabama and saying that the one that had all the ducks and the birds, and he said, saying, I wonder what his house smells like.
Yeah, he did say
You remember that?
Of course I remember that.
Okay, and then you giggled in the background. Well, I never once told you all them animals lived in my house. And my house don't stink, or her house don't stink, or she's mad. Has Squirrel ever seen a squirrel get skinned?
Whoa, 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 whoa. Hold on a second.
Now,
Now, did you say Manning was married?
No, I said I ain't even married and about got a divorce because of what that that dude said over that dang TV she heard.
So she...
And her house
Manna,
stung. Her house Manna, stung.
Manna has a house and you have a house, is that right?
Well, it's both of ours, but the woman usually owns the house. It don't matter who pays for it.
Okay. Finally agree with you on something.
I mean, but that the point of it is that I never once told you all these animals lived in my house.
Well, what did you tell me?
I told you we had a bunch of animals, but I didn't tell you I'd every one of them come inside my dang house and to live. We got a big yard. They out in the yard in the fence. The birds, they got a cage. They got parrots in the house. The ducks, they got a cage.
So who, other than you and Manor, who else is in the house?
Casey, my stepson.
Okay. Well, I didn't mean your children. I meant animals.
Got two cats and four parakeets. Well, little bitty parakeets.
And you let these parakeets?
But she is mad. She told me not to never call your show long as she's in the house anymore.
Why doesn't Manna just pike down?
I don't know, man. I ain't saying that. Hey, sometimes you got to bow down. You already know that.
No, that's absurd. You need to tell Manna the way things are going to be.
But no, I ain't doing that, man. I ain't doing that. You don't tell your old lady the way things are going to be, do you?
Well, first of all, if I called her my old lady,
yeah,
if
you called your old lady, you'd be in trouble. Yeah, I understand that one, too, because I don't usually say that. Well, she ain't here right yet. She went to the store. She's mad.
Well, you don't think it's possible?
Like
maybe,
maybe
she's got a radio that she's listening right now?
Well, I hope not. But all I know is she is ready to skin a squirrel. And you ain't got too much meat on your bones to skin. I told her to lay off of you.
Well, you still called your wife, or excuse me, your common-law wife. Is that right?
Yeah. Right.
You still called your common-law wife your old lady.
That's just the way I grew up back in the day.
Well, yeah. I don't know what...
Some of them call them mama.
Where I grew up, nobody referred to women as their old lady. Did you?
No.
Well, I called Mana. I said it to you, old lady. I wouldn't say that in front of her.
Now, is it Mana or Manna?
It's Manna.
Like Manna from
but
heaven?
I call her Manna because it's so much easier. She wants you, if you call her by her real name, she wants you to get to all the syllables right.
Now, Joey, where did you meet Manna? Manna.
I told you that one before in a bar.
In a bar?
Bar.
Well, and how did you, I know I'm asking you to be repetitive, but I'm fascinated by this story. So you just walked up to her in a bar?
No, she come to me.
Ooh.
I was shooting pool, and she came over and wanted to shoot pool, and that's how we hooked up.
Did you leave the bar with her?
Yeah, you know I did. And she's hung around ever since.
What's that song, You're Going Home With Me Tonight?
I don't know, but she's been here for 8 years. Yeah, I don't call her my old lady in front of her.
Well, it was
that
love
just comes out.
It was love at first sight?
I don't know what it was. I think it was too much alcohol.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in the middle of a Morgan Wallen song.
Yeah, I think it was too much alcohol.
Yeah.
That's how we met, though. Well, anyway, I just clarified.
Listen, by the way, Joey,
them animals don't live in here. I'm trying to get out of hot water now. She's trying to make me go out here, told me I need to start cutting grass and not talk to you.
Well, I think you ought to tell your old lady to mind her own business.
All right. I know you try to get me in more than I'm already in.
Okay. Thanks. I knew that call would end on a curse word. And we are back with more right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We are back, and Tanner up next in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Tanner.
Hey, Paul. You doing all right?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Oh, that last caller, his name escapes me. But when he calls back
Joey,
in, you think
it?
We can... Yeah, Joey, that's right. When he calls back in, you think we can try and get Mena on the phone?
I would like to talk to Mena.
I think that would be an interesting 5 minutes. That really would. But, Paul, I'm getting off work, and it's loud where I work. It's an industrial setting.
Sure.
I listen to you on a radio most of the time, and my hearing's not as good as it used to be, but clarify this for me, Paul. Earlier today, did you say Jim was honest or he tells truths? Please just clarify for me.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and ask the stenographer to check the transcripts of that.
All right. Well, I had to disagree with you if you said that, but. You said something, whatever Todd's issues are is his issues, but to say Jim's honest or tells truths, that's a little far-fetched. But anyway, Paul, old Kenny Chesney, man, he's not my favorite artist, but if you and him ever go to the mullet toss, you bring me along, please.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. I'll offer this, and I know this may not be, I mean, off the air, and I've met a lot of these people, he might be one of the most down-to-earth celebrities I've ever been around.
Yeah, he seems like a real nice guy. I'd probably like him more if he wasn't, a Tennessee Volunteer, but...
Yeah, he definitely wears that on his sleeve.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, he just... His music ain't bad, he's a very talented artist, he's just, to me, he's kind of like a gentrified Jimmy Buffett, and
I think you're 100% right about it. I mean, Tanner, he is like the son of Buffett.
Yeah.
It's very similar. Buffett, I mean, I don't know if I'd really, I mean, Buffett maybe a little, I mean, Buffett was more probably of a, more of a songwriter early in his, I think Chesney's more of just an incredible entertainer.
Yeah. He does seem like a real good, genuine person, though.
I don't think there's any question that Kenny Chesney, whether by design or not, inherited Buffett's
lost entire
gig. Yeah, I mean, one's Parrothead, the other one's No Shoes Nation. Fairly similar appeal. It's always about sun, beer, beach, and women in...
pretty girls, yeah.
Yeah.
But,
I think you got that.
All right,
yeah.
Paul, well...
You got the drill. Not that unusual from a lot of other country artists. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. Squirrel is up next.
Yeah, I tried to get back on with Joey to clarify some things there. I didn't know that... he said he's almost got a divorce.
Yeah, and he's not even married.
That's what I was about to say. I don't even think he was married.
It's hard to
so
do, by the way.
Him. But he did say, Paul, if you recall, you asked him, does he have a lot of property, some acreage? And he says, no, they got a little house. Do you not remember him saying that? And so I just assumed that, how do you put, you don't put five cats in a cage outside.
No.
Those cats are in the house.
Yeah, I didn't.
I don't care what.
I didn't. I don't want to call him a liar, but
you don't have seven dogs out in the yard with five cats roaming around. You've got to have some separation, I would think, there. Yeah. So, again, if we can get Joey back on maybe next week, we can clarify the work. And if I need to get on with Velveeta or whatever his wife's name is, I'll be glad to do that.
Velveeta is Cat Daddy's wife.
Okay, well, whatever.
I got a lot to keep up with.
I don't want anybody getting divorced over an innocent comment. Aloha.
Manna is Joey's common-law wife. And Jeff is the next caller.
What's going on, Paul?
Jeff.
I mean, it's always good to have the ombudsman squirrel keeping things straight, and he does a good job at keeping these guys in line, doesn't he?
He sure does.
Yeah, Paul, hey, before I get to what I really wanted to call about, I have to ask you, where the hell have you found all these new callers? Did you put some one ad out to kooks.com or something?
Where'd you find all these guys? I think we got them on Tinder.
I mean, I don't know where you're finding them lately, but I did. These guys are crazy. I mean, that Todd guy, he just wants to, you know, beat everybody up. The dude needs to calm down and get back in the chicken coop. And you got this other guy that thinks he's some comedian, Johnny B. What's that stand for, Johnny Boring? I mean, the guy's always laughing at his own jokes that aren't even funny. Have you noticed that?
I must have missed that.
Okay. Hey, Paul, early in the week I called in and talked to you about the elephant in the room with all the finances with these college athletic departments, and you've got to get somebody on in sports business, one of these sports business guys you get on here occasionally that are really good. You touched on it, but you haven't really expanded on it. This Texas A&M laying a lot of their staff off, don't you think that's a direct impact of NIL and not being able to
I don't know anything about it other than the guy that we had on, but I think it's either that or you have a new administrator who saw a lot of, and you're in business, he saw a lot of fat on the bone.
And I tell you what, we're hearing the same thing up here with Gene Smith, and ironically, the guy's coming up here from Texas A&M. But there's a big rumor going around up here that they're going to start dropping some non-revenue sports, which they prided themselves here at Ohio State of keeping after Title IX.
No, I agree. When they don't bring money to the table, it's going to be a more difficult. But right now, Jeff, and you're part of the program that I think has spent more money lately than anyone. You can't operate everything when all the money is going to one place.
You're right. And the money, like I said the other day, it's going to the individuals and out the back door to the individuals. It's not staying in-house.
No.
And I don't think enough's being said about the debt that these programs are carrying with the huge facilities war we had going on with all these schools for recruiting. Hell, I heard Texas A&M's debt on that stadium and everything is through the roof. You know, so I'm just wondering, they may not be able to finance their debt with rates going up the way they are.
And not to get into your world, but one thing and everybody was so sure interest rates were coming down, they're not. And if we see a reversal, I don't need to tell you what happens.
Exactly. I mean, the debt these programs have to be carrying, and if they can't finance the debt, and a lot of that financing is coming from donors giving big money to the programs, and it's going to these athletes out the back door, I don't think enough being talked about it, Paul. I'd really like to have you get one. I think it's an excellent
suggestion. We'll do that. Anyway, we're up against a break here. 30 minutes remain for this week, and we're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We are back, and let's get to the calls, and Jim is next.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it. Excuse me, I'm hoarse from I don't know what, but anyway. You know, I'm thinking about, there's been some good things that have happened today and said today, and the Bible says that the Word of God never comes back, won't come back to him void. And I believe that's what's happening today with these scripture verses. My name was all over Fred's call, all over. He nailed me perfectly. That's all I can say. And I knew it when he said it, and I said, God, what do I do? And all I heard from God was just wait. And I believe God's working it out in me. Paul, my problem is I've had a lack of love ever since I was a young kid. My daddy started, I'm not trying to blame my daddy, but he had a lot of bitterness toward me. I don't know why. And I think, anyway, I'm not going to go into that. But I was bitter as I could be at the age of 3 or 4 years old, and I remember that. And I've had problems with having, I've got love in me, I know that. But there's been a tremendous void, a lack of love within flowing me, flowing through me, and you've got to have the love of God. That's the bottom line. And that's where I've been lacking so much. Paul said in one of the scriptures, I can't remember exactly how it's worded, but he said, though I have the voice of a prophet, and though I do this and that, and so many great things in the name of God, with the love of God, with the word of God, though I, and yet I have not love, I am as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. In other words, I'm nothing. And that's a fact. And that's been my problem. I've spoken truths, unlike Tanner said. I have spoken truths. I do speak truths, but it's a lack of love there. I know that. And all I can say is I'm confessing my faults. The Bible says confess your faults one to another and pray for one for another. And I need to do that. I just need the love of God. That's all I know. And so many others do. But all I can do is speak for myself. I'm just telling you the truth.
Well, thank you for your honesty there, Jim. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul.
Be well. I-Man is up next.
Well, good afternoon there, Paul.
Hey there.
Hope you got a great weekend planned ahead. You know, it's the norm. People call in complaining about what caller's talking about. All I want to hear is NIL. I mean, what is there to talk about with NIL? Is any of that really public? There's nothing to it. I won't talk about transfer report. Nothing to it. I won't talk about the teams. I want to hear the people bragging and the other people sucking eggs. There's nobody bragging, nobody sucking eggs right now. It's off season. And if Squirrel says your house stinks, Joey, I imagine it does. Because Squirrel is a man of few words. And when John says he's quitting, I hope he doesn't quit. I mean, of course, you can quit this show and come back. I mean, you never really quit, do you, Paul? You can't quit this show once you're involved. This becomes an addiction worse than New York heroin. I mean, you become part of the Velvet Underground explosion in New York City studios. You know, the New York City musicians, when I was a kid growing up, I thought heroin might be the death sentence, but it's obvious to me, after having lived all these years, that a lot of those cats are functioning people, heroin addicts. And maybe some aren't. But, you know, Paul, I thought a little bit about this and trying to get it in my mind. You know, we lost Dickie Betts this past week.
We sure did.
And I saw the brothers right at the brothers and sisters period with Chuck Lavelle.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw them three times, and of course Dickie was there as well. And then I saw them after they came back together in Birmingham with Wet Willie and Bonnie Raitt, and fantastic band. And then of course Derek Trucks comes in and he fills in after Dickie's gone. Saw the brothers a couple times after that without Dickie. I saw Greg do three solo tours. And I saw Dickie on two solo tours. And I tell you, the Greg and Dickie tours were just as good as the brothers' tours, except the brothers weren't there. I mean, just fascinating music. And I don't really have like a one, two, or three in songs, bands, politicians, anything. I don't keep a top 100 list of anything. Either you're there or you're not. And if you tried to narrow it down, how do you narrow it down? I mean, Dickie Betts, I mean, been around for right at 50 years for the public to hear. That's above and beyond the Call of Duty. That's iconic stats. I mean, same thing with Greg and so many others out there. I mean, that's just iconic. And being relevant during all of that time. Last time I saw Dickie was in Montgomery at one of the Jubilee City Fest. And, I mean, he was just playing his ass off. Now, he had another cat with him that was supporting as a second guitar. And you could see maybe that Dickie was a little frustrated or something, but it was still a hell of a show. And you know, they just don't make bands like that anymore. I mean, the musicians today, McChesney, he's hanging tough. I think he's been around for a while.
Yeah, he's 56 years old. He's been since the early 90s.
Yeah, and he's out there doing it, and he's relevant, and people love him. And I don't have a problem with these guys being Tennessee fans, Bama fans, or whatever. I do have a problem when they start running their mouth about politics. And because I didn't go there for that. I went to hear maybe some short stories, if they have a comment or two about a song or maybe another person in the room that everybody's aware of, but not political stances.
No,
I really don't want to hear too much of their religious views either. Just play me the songs. I can read between the lines on some of them, and some of them really don't matter to me about reading between the lines. Sometimes it's just the music that fascinates me. And it's the same thing with church. I mean, a good choir will blow a preacher off the stage. And, you know, you just have those moments. And but I know this is not NIL and Transfer Portal and Little Feller.
Yeah, talk about NIL, will you?
Yeah, we're going back to NIL. But, you know, I just, it's Friday afternoon, and I've been given this thing with Dickie Betts. I mean, now we've got J-Mo. He's the last original member. And I did see J-Mo's jazz band, which is a very unique situation here in Montgomery with Greg one night. And all those cats over at Capricorn, well, actually the Allman Brothers band, they probably had 350 musicians and all sorts of bands that were under contract with them. They'd go do a weekend festival just with the people associated under the Allman Brothers umbrella. They didn't need another band. They had so many talented musicians that, I mean, they put 25 acts on stage and all of them would blow you away because they were all so in tune with the music and that's what they were. They were just outstanding musicians and many of them are. And I tell you, another band that got a lot of their legs from the Lynyrd Skynyrd group and the Allman Brothers and Marshall Tucker and a lot of the Southern rock kind of thing. And that's the Drive-By Truckers.
Oh, yeah.
Patterson Hood grew up right up there in Muscle Shoals. His dad, David's in the bass player for the Swampers. I mean, them cats grew up there, and they're great storytellers. Just between Patterson Hood and Michael Cooley and several others that were there, I mean, they're just fascinating band to me. And you know, for all you people out there that want to, you know, go out there and shoot your neighbors and bitch at people at the red light and flip them off at the grocery store. I mean, relax, calm down, listen to some music. And, you know, it's 420 somewhere, Paul. Wardan Miggle, have a good weekend.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Augie is up next.
That was interesting.
It was.
Paul, Jim isn't always sour. I mean, he's prayed for a lot of people. So I don't know why he's down on himself. He's, you know, supported lots of folks who needed it, myself included. So, Jim, don't think that, and I don't know. I don't know why he's having this introspective moment, but, you know, he's not all bad if he thinks he is. So just wanted to say that. Paul, are you surprised? You see what's happening at the UT Texas. It started in the Northeast. Now it's at Texas. Of course, it's going to go to the West Coast, these protests. And you know, social activism, when there are issues, schools, athletic departments, the SEC, they take up the cause. Do you find it surprising, disappointing, none of their business that nobody in athletics has said anything when in other instances they have?
Yeah, I haven't really given that a whole lot of thought, but I'm sure it's going to happen because you can't avoid it. It's on every campus right now.
Well, I mean, you would think that, I know they like to stick their head in the sand, but eventually they feel compelled to come out. And at this point, I'm not so sure what more they're waiting for, even the SEC office. I mean, what's happening, some of the things that are happening, the statements that are made, I mean, it's not only causing for unrest, it's actually calling for attacks against certain groups, physical attacks.
Well, I think, Augie, with the commencement season here, I think it's going to become a little more problematic. Hate to run. We're up against the break. We have a few moments remaining here on a Friday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
The clock is ticking on a Friday afternoon, and Chris from Gulf Shores is next.
What's happening, my buddy?
Chris, I can't believe you were allowed to make a phone call.
Well, I actually had to sneak out here on the front porch to get away with it. Listen, I heard my friend I'm in talking about the late, great Dickie Betts, may he rest in peace, and I just also wanted to make another comment on a famous Southern musician. Today is Mobile's favorite son, Wet Willie's own Jimmy Hall's birthday.
Oh, really?
Happy birthday, Jimmy
now,
Hall.
Am I mistaken? Did we not have him on here, Jimmy Hall?
Yeah.
We had Jimmy Hall on here once.
I think so, yeah.
It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like Dick Clark back in the day, as many musicians as we have on this show.
Yeah.
We got a brand new Paul? Group here I want to introduce from Liverpool. A couple of young lads, John, Paul.
Hey, Paul, just like when I turned 67 this past Monday, we're turning into a bunch of old farts.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we did have Jimmy on. We also had somebody else on. Who was the other guy from Wet Willie that we had on once? Rick Hirsch, is that right?
Ricky Hirsch, guitar player, yeah.
We had Ricky Hirsch on once.
Yeah. And you've had, also referenced Chuck LaVelle.
Oh, yeah.
You had him on before.
I remember
talking
Chuck
about
LaVelle
his tree farm.
Being on the show a couple years ago, about 10 years ago.
Yeah, he's got the huge tree farm, I
Who
think.
Who have we not had
Georgia.
On is the question, Chris.
Well, I don't know. There ain't too many of them left alive, so.
We had, Kenny in here earlier today, and that was cool.
Yeah, he's a youngster.
Well, he's 56. I mean, that is young for our show.
That is young. That's what I'm saying, brother. We've reached that point where guys that are in their 50s now are considered youngsters to us.
People talk about Matt. You know, Kenny was talking about the 80s and 90s. I'm like, going, that seemed like yesterday. That was his youth.
Talk about our days of youth back in the 60s and 70s.
That's still the greatest line I've ever heard about. Some guy, you've heard it. The guy that said, if you remember the 60s, you weren't there.
Yeah. How true it is. Hey, Paul, just want to let the audience know a bit of thanks to you for putting in the good word about having Nick Saban on last night.
Yeah.
We know that you were behind all that because, let's face it, it was you and the late, great Mal Moore and Miss Terry that got Nick hired at Alabama as a football coach.
Well,
and now you've got him on your network.
I'm not going to take credit for that. I am going to take credit for Rich Rodriguez turning the job down.
Well,
even though I had nothing to do with it. You remember that story?
Therein lies that's how you're connected.
No, you're right. Because if I had not been accused by Mrs. Rodriguez of saying things that I never said, Rich Rodriguez would have been the coach.
Trailer park humor.
And Saban would have probably gone back to LSU and won 14 more national championships.
Exactly. So indirectly there, you were responsible for Coach Saban coming to the University of Alabama.
Chris, I want to hear more from you in the future here. Tell Mrs. Chris that you got a job, and your job is right here every Friday night closing this show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.